You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Dean
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's The Newsroom After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's The Newsroom After Show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Newsroom After Show. Bing is for doing, and we are doing it very emotionally today. This was a hard episode. It was a very, very important episode tonight in the season. My name is Kelly, and joining me today is...
Hi, guys. I'm Kristen.
I'm Kendra.
Sarah.
And we have a very special guest with us today. This is season one, episode seven, and it was called 5-1, or May 1st. And with us today is...
Amin
El-Gamal. And you may remember Amin from, he was in about two episodes ago, the episode entitled Amen. And we have a clip from that episode we want to share with you guys.
One second, I'll get it.
Technical difficulties, hold
this
on.
This is live, like ACN guys.
Reenact.
Just reenact it real quick. Let's go get props.
Okay, I'll play Mackenzie. Sarah, you're Maggie. Let's go.
I'll play Kendra.
That means I get Jim.
Yeah. Amen. Every news outlet in the world is going to be there. But you'll be the first Egyptian reporter on an American network to describe what it's like living through this Berlin Wall moment for the Middle East. This is history, and you'll never forget tonight.
Yes, of course. You're right. My name is Salem. Khaled Salem.
Khaled, let's go through some technical details.
That was such a great episode within itself. Yeah. So, you know, so many, you know, human moments we got to see. And, you know, we talked about that Dave Patel really, like, kind of shined in that episode.
Well. Mm-hmm.
So, but we'll talk about all of that a little later. Let's talk about this episode. This episode was nuts. And I love how it starts out at a party at Will's house, which he obviously doesn't feel very comfortable having.
No, Mackenzie talked him into that party. Will, you need to host a party for everyone.
Right. Yeah, he's like, there's a bunch of people at my house. There's people.
I thought it was funny that they were celebrating the 1 year and 1 week anniversary of Newsnight 2.0. Why not have done it on the actual year mark? You know?
Yeah. That was funny.
They're probably in studio doing something.
Yeah.
That's maybe why. It's hard to
they
do
They couldn't
with live
find
news.
Time.
Yeah.
I loved all the games they were playing.
Yeah.
Like the Taboo and the guitar here. Was it Taboo? Or the Famous Person game?
Oh,
where you like, have to guess.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what.
I don't know what that's called.
What it's called, but yeah, they were playing all kinds of
categories, maybe.
I don't know. Chess?
Sometimes catchphrase might have it on there.
Yeah, somebody was playing chess.
I guess we need to, like, brush up on our games.
I know. Apparently, we don't have enough game nights. I don't know. It was Blindfolded Guitar Hero.
Spin the Bottle. I know that one.
And the guitar playing with
yes.
Jim Gallagher and Jeff Daniels. I thought that was awesome. They're
actually surprising.
Yeah, they're great singers, and they both play guitar, so that was really cool.
Yeah, that was really fun to see that.
Secret talents cool. revealed.
Yeah. But I think my favorite part of the night was Will McAvoy getting high.
Oh, yeah.
The edibles.
And this is the second time, because we got a little sneak peek of that a few episodes ago with the girl who brought
with
her
Kevin
gun to the apartment. She was offering it to him. He was all for it.
Yeah. So, but I love how he goes into the whole WebMD spiel of explaining why he needs this medical marijuana.
Right. He has knee and elbow problems from sports.
Yes.
It's okay. And he also has, what was it,
strength of like 10 men.
Oh, yeah. He said he's a medical marvel because he takes Vicodin and eats 2 cookies. You know, I can't even imagine.
And of course, he had to go into the research of it all, being Will McAvoy. He couldn't just be like, yeah, let's you know, get high. Let's talk about the research behind this drug and what it does for the body.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, God.
Yeah, it was really funny. Yeah. But he's still a little bit himself, just a little slower.
Right.
Yeah, a lot slower.
A little bit slower.
Except when he's running, which I guess he's pretty fast if Lonnie can't catch up with him.
Well, in the middle of this party, Jim goes off into another room and pretends to be working. And, you know, of course, Maggie has to go and find him when she doesn't see him within eye shot. Mm-hmm. And she goes into the room and he's watching a baseball game. And then he gets like
a FaceTime
from Lisa. And Maggie's character annoyed me a lot in this episode. I think
she's
she was
very controlling.
Well, a little too trying to push him away from her because she doesn't want to admit the fact that she likes him.
Yeah.
A little too, do this all in front of me. Let me see you do this.
It was painful.
Yeah. It was just a little too, I don't know, too pushy, too like that whole cycle girl thing going on.
It was sad.
Yeah, it was.
Are you team Maggie? And Maggie and Jim?
Yeah, I have to be. How could you not be? They're so cute. They're like two puppies.
Yeah, that's
true.
In a
newsroom.
Puppies belong together.
They do. But she was a little too overboard, I think, in this episode tonight. I don't know. But he answers this call, and it's Lisa walking down the street talking to him. And Lisa says, you know, I love you. And, you know, Maggie's face, you know, she freaks out and Jim gets embarrassed and is like, yeah, me too, bye.
You too.
Yeah.
I do too.
You too.
I think the same thing.
And then, awkward. You know, they get in their whole thing and, you know, and Maggie's pushing and pushing and pushing. And then he's like, no, I'm not in love with her, but I really like her a lot. And then Maggie's forcing him to break up with her. Hmm. So what do you guys think about that?
See, personally, I think he shouldn't be with her then and lie to her. I think Maggie went overboard with it, but I think what she was saying, it might have been for the wrong reasons because she likes Jim. However, if he's lying to her about loving Lisa, that's not right. He needs to confront her, and if he still wants to be with her, that's one thing. But if he really just doesn't want to be with her and is also telling her that, you know, he loves her and then having, you know, fun times with her. That's not fair, because she develops feelings.
Yeah, but to push so hard, you got to break up, you got to break up, you got to break up. I don't necessarily think that was...
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's not her place. Obviously, she wants it to... She thinks it should go a certain way, but she's not the person in the relationship, and she tends to cross that line all the time with Lisa and Jim, and it's because she does have those secret feelings for him, I think.
I think there's something building up. I mean, there has to be. She has to break at some point, and we have to see what's actually going on with her.
Yeah. What they needed to do was have a conversation like they, you know, like they ended up doing, was have a conversation about this. Because in most relationships, when one person says, I love you, especially early on in the relationship,
there's a discussion or something.
There should be. Or there's always that off chance that somebody's going to feel obligated to say it back. Yeah. But then eventually you talk about it. Doesn't necessarily mean you just have to break up.
Right.
You know.
Right. And in relationships, it's very important to be honest. Mm-hmm. And he was kind of the coward in the situation in that he couldn't just fess up to the fact that, hey, I don't really feel the same, but let's talk about where we're both at and maybe if it could lead in that direction in the future. He just kind of, you know, didn't want to confront it, and that's why he said, I love you too, or whatever he said.
What's really interesting to me is I feel like Maggie's character is always trying to take care of Lisa as if she's like a hot mess, but a lot of times it seems like Lisa is the most reasonable and the most like cool and the most like she has. Kind of has her shit together a little bit.
Yeah.
Am I not supposed to say?
No.
No.
Not NPR.
I agree with you. I think socially she's a lot more mature than Maggie.
Which.
But I think what they were trying to play off of in the beginning is that she's not as, I guess, book smart as Maggie.
I see,
that's what Maggie, she even asked, she's, remember when Lisa asked Maggie, like, do you not think I'm smart enough? Or something
that was
like
really
that.
Moving.
Yeah.
Moment, yeah.
But then on the flip side, Sloane is book smart and not emotionally smart.
Yeah, I think,
I think the
people in the newsroom, you see that they're very intelligent in a certain way, but then when it comes to human interaction, they're not. I think that's like the trend.
Yeah.
And seeing Lisa, we see kind of someone from the outside world who's a little bit more able to speak her mind, a little bit more in her body, but might not, you know, break news in a intelligent way. Yeah. But she doesn't have to. It's not her life.
But it's also whenever Maggie's talking to Jim about his relationship with Lisa, she's always kind of, in my opinion, bringing up something negative about Lisa.
Yeah.
Like when she said, I love you. And then he's like, oh, it's too soon or something. And then, you know, Maggie says, and, you know, she always does it way too soon.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying. You know, but then it seems like when you see Lisa, you're kind of like, oh, she's not actually that much of a mess.
Mm-hmm. No, really? I think she's just a different type of person going down a different path. And because she's more confident in the way she feels, she's like, hey, I feel it. I'm going to say it, you know, and she's okay with it. And she doesn't.
She's like the most well-adjusted, even though they make her, you know, they treat her as if she needs like special care.
Yeah, that's the thing that's a little bit off. And I just, you know, I think because Maggie's trying to steer this a certain way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she's trying to, you know, she's taking more, a little bit too much control over it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So shall we go into the flip that happens later? Where she actually is the one that breaks up with him.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that happened though, because so he was going to break up with her, but, you know,
per Maggie's advice.
Yeah, Maggie's advice, he was going to listen. And then she turns it around, and because she foresees that this might happen, because she's thinking that it might have been too soon for me to open my mouth about that.
Well, not only that, they're talking about her. It's not like she's in another room.
No, she was
she can probably hear what they're saying.
Not very tactful.
And Maggie's really loud.
Yeah, so it's not like she can't hear what's going on.
And then we saw it, though, the wheel started turning in his head, like, oh, wait, she's leaving me? And this always happens with guys. When you leave them, now all of a sudden they want you. It's the cat and mouse game.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that coming, where he was going to, you know,
you said that.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay.
Now
he's going to be into her.
Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, he asked her out on a proper date and wants to really take her out.
Was that genuine, though? Or was that out of guilt?
I think it might have been genuine, because I think he was fighting. I think he's been fighting with himself about his feelings for Maggie, and he didn't really want to be dating anybody else. Yeah. And the way that Lisa's personality seems to be so glow with the flow, hey, you want to hang out? And he's like, eh, okay. Mm-hmm. But now that he's had, you know, she put it in perspective for him and is like, look, here's what it is, so how about I just let you off the hook, because she even says, you know, we'd be picking out preschools before you knew it, because you would be way too polite to do anything about it, so I'm gonna just be the adult here.
And he probably gained respect for her for doing that, because she's not gonna be just that girl that lays down or sits down and lets him decide what he wants to do. She knows that she deserves a guy that actually wants to be with her and not her roommate. She's going to say something.
Yeah. And there's probably a sense of relief on Jim's part, because he's like, well, she knows I like her. I don't love her. I don't have all this responsibility.
Right.
And Valentine's Day and flowers, you know.
It just kind of cleared the air for all of them, which I think was good. Well, at least in Lisa's mind, you know, at least she knows it's out in the open. She calls them both out, and Maggie, being ridiculous, makes a scene, protests that they have no feelings for each other, and
that's funny.
And I like that Lisa laughs at them. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, that's so unbelievable.
She's like the voice of reason. Yeah. It's really kind of amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She deserves a lot more credit than she's getting from Maggie.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I think she'll go out with Jim, because he asked her out officially.
There was no answer.
And then if you were Lisa, would you guys go? Because I don't see how she does it. I mean, you see these two people together all the time.
I think
she even knows they should be together.
Yeah. But she'll be a bit more reserved, you know, or, you know, maybe not jump into bed so fast again with him and maybe kind of make him work for the second time around. Because I do feel like he was at least genuine in wanting to give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't know yet if he's going to develop, you know, being in love with her. But I get the sense that he at least wants to see where it's going to go. And give it a try for now.
Well, I think it's going to be more of a friendship between those two, because she even says to Maggie, you know, I'm going to stop doing this to you. Like, I'm not going to do this to you anymore. Because I think she knows what she's doing. And I think she knew from the beginning, and she knew she shouldn't have dated him in the first place.
Yeah.
Because when you're hiding something from the beginning, then you automatically know that it's not okay.
Yeah.
So, I think that's what they were doing. Especially the relationship that she established was, hey, I'm going to call you in the middle of the night. What are you doing? Let me come over. That's not even really dating. So she knew what she was doing. I think it was more of a little girl competition there. And then it kind of went a little bit too far.
And she realizes that and is like, okay, let's pump the brakes and see what happens. So I think that she'll go out with him, but it'll be more of a friendship than it's going to be a relationship. Because I think she might still be pushing for those two to just fess up already.
Right.
But we'll see.
Maybe she'll confront Maggie a little bit more and say, you know, let's talk again about how your face looked when I said I love you to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that she called her out on that. Yeah. And I like that about her character, that she's, like, pretty honest. And she's just straightforward and is like,
right,
you know, whatever her motives are, you know, she's still, I see this. I notice this. Mm-hmm. And even
she's
if
very upfront about it,
and Dawn is getting wise to it too, as we saw on the plane.
Yeah,
which is interesting.
I like that he was talking about their relationship to anyone that would listen.
It was kind of like this show. It was on the plane, everyone was like Maggie and Jim.
Yeah. What do we think about that? Do we think that Dawn actually really loves Maggie, or is it just the competition thing that, you know, another man might be stealing her away? I go back and forth about
he
it.
He must have something.
He has some sort of love, but
he like her used a lot. To.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm still kind of torn on that because I think he's got such a selfish personality that maybe she's changing that a little bit about him, and he's starting to realize that. I think he's starting to maybe realize his feelings for her as this progresses, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like sometimes you don't realize what you're losing until you're losing it.
Right. So maybe
and
that's
And I like
what it
that
is.
He's shown kind of gazing at her from afar, like, oh, you love her. You like her at least or something.
Yeah.
You need to move back in there.
Well, I like that we're getting a more human side of him because since the very beginning, we were always like, oh, stupid Dawn.
Why are you making everyone's life more difficult?
Yeah, why are you always a jerk? And why do you always have to be so condescending and so mean at everything?
And say no to everything.
You know, all the time. Even on the plane, you know, when, you know, he's talking to the stewardess. And yes, she's being a little difficult. And sometimes the rules are ridiculous. But you don't always have to be a jerk. Yeah. Not out of the gate all the time, which is what he always seems to be.
For the theater geeks, the stewardess was actually in a play called Clybourne Park that was just on Broadway, and that was just here in L.A. at the Mark Taper Forum. Yeah, I recognized her from that.
Very
the newsroom loves its theater people.
Yeah. Yeah, because a lot of
Jim Gallagher Jr., Jeff Daniels, Allison Pill, Adina Porter. She's one of the regular people in the newsroom.
That's great. And then you're in the theater too, right?
I am, that's my origins. So it's pretty cool. Yeah, and he did too. He started in theater, writing plays. And, and he studied musical theater, Aaron Sorkin.
So it all comes full circle.
A lot of those monologues are very played.
It's very
it's like a play.
No, it is. Yeah, it's very verbal.
Aside.
Yeah.
But back to what we were talking about. Dawn becoming a human.
But speaking of becoming a human, dang it, this is a tangent too, but I feel like that's happening with Will, especially with the episode from last week. Sorry, I just felt like I needed to say that right now.
Oh,
like with him going to therapy sessions, we're figuring out why he could be, you know, such a jerk.
So now that we're in the middle of the scene, you know, a little bit further on, I think we're starting to see these characters kind of really develop and getting to know. I mean, there's so many of them, and everybody pretty much has a part. There's not very many that are just kind of off to the side. We're really getting to see inside each of these characters.
Last week was Olivia Munn's character, Sloan.
Yeah, so we're getting to see inside them, which I think is great, and giving them time to develop and kind of build a following.
Mm-hmm. And it makes the show better.
It does. Yeah.
Last episode, when we were seeing all those therapy sessions with Will, I was, like, getting so hooked. Like, I was loving the episode so much. And same thing for this episode. It's more emotional. You connect to them better now that you have their background story. You're getting to know them a little bit more.
Well, they all need serious therapy, all of them, or self-help books or something.
Anybody who's ever worked in a newsroom needs therapy.
Poor guys. Well, if you need to find your self-help book, one of the things you can do is you can go to Amazon.com and shop online. And it helps us out if you shop on Amazon through AfterBuzzTV.com. If you go to AfterBuzzTV.com, click on our Amazon banner, and do all of your online shopping from there, we get a little kickback, and it helps us continue to do these great shows and have these wonderful special guests and talk about your favorite shows. So please make sure to go do that. It's just one extra click. It doesn't cost you anything else, and you can get lots of cool stuff. I just spent another $200 yesterday. Every other day, I'm like, ooh, what do I need now? I don't feel like going to the store. It's ridiculous.
You're like milk and cereal.
I know. I needed extension cords, and all of a sudden, $200 in, I'm getting like a hard drive and all kinds of stuff.
Wow. So the studio was brought to you by Kelly.
Exactly. This episode was brought to you by me. So Now, the heart of this episode and the most amazing thing about it was the breaking news that was happening in between all of this craziness. You know, while Will is getting high off of Neil's girlfriend's cookies that she hooked him up with, which I loved that, actually. Yeah. I thought that was really cute.
It was the comic relief that this episode needed because we have such a serious topic like that. There has to be something to bring it back.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So as everyone remembers, you know, May 1st was a really big day. And, you know, that's when we found out that they had gotten Osama bin Laden. And it's just the way I think... One thing I have to say is no matter what kind of criticism the show gets, I think that the way that they did this was beautiful tonight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
The way that it all went in and the way that everyone got to tell someone important from that day, mm-hmm. you know.
And it was cool that they were showing, they were you know, noticing, like, where were we? They were making us think, like, where were we when that happened?
I mean, I remember where I was when I heard. Mm-hmm. I was at the DGA watching my friend's short film. I remember.
Nice.
And someone announced it, and we were all like, was this a joke?
When
what?
9/11 or
No, with
Bin Laden.
Bin Laden.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But no, this too,
when
but
I found
both.
Bin Laden. Oh, yeah, both. Of course.
Yeah.
Of course, 9/11. Yeah.
It brought us back to that moment, though, seeing this episode, and they were all experiencing it for the first time. The way that it was done, we were thinking, oh, wow, well, I was, you know, at work, you know, that day and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it just, I still remember where I was when 9/11 happened.
Yeah.
You know, all those years ago. And like, I can still picture it. It's crazy. I watched it on the news, and I thought we were watching a movie. Mm-hmm. I didn't even realize it was the news. It was so insane.
And that was interesting that they brought Neil's girlfriend's background into it.
Yeah.
It added some complexity. Yeah.
Yeah, it did.
Because it was a bittersweet moment. I think we were all really proud that we got, you know, Osama bin Laden. But at the same time, it's like... rooting over someone getting killed. It was this kind of like bittersweet moment. Yeah. So I like that.
Yeah, it doesn't bring back the people that
we lost. No, it
doesn't
make it okay.
No. So I like that, you know, she wasn't celebrating, that it made her like stop and think. And she says, you know, I thought I would be happy about it, but it's just, it doesn't change anything.
Yeah, it was very, very like moving human moments.
Yeah.
I'm glad that Sorkin included those kind of elements because we're able to put ourselves back in those shoes again and really feel like this is an event that really affected our nation and us, you know, individually.
Right.
And we're able to see that through each of these characters.
Yeah, I like Charlie's point of view as well. He wasn't going to call it, and they were like, well, we have two sources and it's backed up. And the fact that he talked about in 1991 where they released information about, you know, where a certain missile was going and it ended up, you know, costing lives that way. And he wanted to hold back for it. And you got to kind of respect that. I mean, they could scoop that story, you know, like that one person in Washington, D.C. One girl in Washington, D.C. was going to do.
Fantastic.
Wow. And then you got Mackenzie. Color bars. Beep.
Yeah. Right. Oh, no.
Mackenzie. Think she got the message? A few seconds more.
Yeah, that was Mackenzie really, like, showed, you know, authority with that. You know, somebody was going to do what they wanted to do anyway, and she literally took them off the air.
I know.
You know?
That was disrespectful on the anchor's part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that just shows how strong and her character really is, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought that was great. And, I mean, as we're seeing, like, the old news stories, you know, coming back that they're showing, like, we know that Geraldo was talking about
Gaddafi
and all of that. Mm-hmm. And it just shows you how the way that this show is made and what the point of it is about breaking news and how we're getting our information, that's, again, just showing what the whole point of this is to not report stuff you don't really know. Just because you hear something doesn't mean you need to get everybody all in a tizzy about it.
Right.
You know, stop, wait, see if it's the right thing. Make sure it's not always about being first. That's what I get from this show, that it's kind of making everybody stop and think.
And there's a responsibility about how they break the news, what they tell people, what is authentic, what is real. It's not about sensationalizing, and it's not about crazy yellow journalism or whatever.
And even showed that on the plane, because we find that, you know, Don and Sloan and Elliot get stuck on this plane. They're on the runway, you know, on the tarmac, like getting in, and for whatever reason they can't get to their gate, and everybody's gotten these emails about this breaking news, and they're freaking out, and Don's freaking out, and when people start getting emails, like the passengers on the plane, you see the whole telephone game starting.
Yeah.
That, wait, we had a terrorist? Somebody says,
and they're
is
on the plane, yeah.
You know, no, we had a terrorist attack, you know, whatever. But that moment when he's throwing a fit to the stewardess and the captain comes out and he looks at his uniform and he stops mm-hmm. and remembers what this breaking news means for them, about, yeah. what it's about, and he takes a beat and he actually reports the news to them. Mm-hmm. I thought right. it was really moving.
Yeah. yeah.
You cool. know?
I loved how they made sure to pay homage to the people who have served for our nation mm-hmm. in this episode, because it wasn't just with the pilots, it was with, you know, every, you know, the bodyguard mm-hmm. who was a part of the military before mm-hmm. and the police officers and everybody who served. They, you know, it was a way of thanking them through this episode, I think.
Yeah,
and that was
even
so great.
The guy in the control room that put on the New York Fire Department hat,
right?
All those little things.
I got the goosebumps yeah. a lot
yeah.
tonight.
Yeah, I know. Cool. I'm getting like talking about it because it's just, you know, I had family that lived in New York and worked like a couple blocks away when the towers fell, and we're literally having to run away from all of that. Mm-hmm. And yeah. you know, I was fortunate enough not to have anybody that actually got hurt, but for all the people that did, it's just so yeah. devastating. And still, like, I can't even imagine. And so I like the way that they were very respectful, I think, in this episode, talking about that, didn't make light of it, even though there was a lighter element to it. It wasn't about that. And I thought that that was nice.
Yeah, I agree.
It didn't really, you know.
One of the other lighter elements I just touched base on, I liked Olivia Munn's interaction with Lester on the plane.
Lester.
Yes. Oh, Lester, trying to get some action. He was, like 17?
Hey, it worked in her favor, though, because she can...
Old enough.
That was cute.
That was really cute.
Well, and then you gotta love Will, too. He had an email for 20 minutes, and because he's completely baked, it's a reliable source that
Joe Biden.
Or, you know, knock him dead like we did.
Joe Biden emails him.
Look at your BlackBerry.
That's hilarious. Just
like, she's like, press the buttons.
Because right. he looks at it and he's looking at it all around. What do I do with this? But he's in the meeting and they look at him and he's like, hmm?
he's out of it the whole episode.
He's got like a 10-minute delay on everything he does.
Or what about when he asked the guy to throw the remote control at him so he could turn off the sound, and he doesn't even notice that it flies right past him.
Flies out of the window.
He has to ask again, can you please throw me the remote control? I just did that.
Yeah, and then the confusion with Obama and Osama, which actually was a problem. This happens. They have you can go on YouTube. You can find a whole kind of compilation of people saying Obama instead of Osama or Osama instead of Obama. It's pretty
well, actually, when I said it out loud, I was making sure in my head that I didn't mix it up.
It's like one letter away.
And then when he was on the news desk about to report it, they had Obama good, Osama bad, just to make sure that he knew or he was going to say the right name during the report.
That's right. Awesome. He couldn't tie his tie. He thought it was a trick tie. And then he tells Mackenzie, I'm baked, and he's laughing and he's trying to explain his injury again.
That was all good acting.
You know, it was
Jeff funny. Daniels is amazing. Yeah. He's an incredible actor.
Yeah. He really, really is. I love it. Well, we love to hear what you guys think about the show. And thanks to everyone who's already gone to iTunes and downloaded us and left us comments about things. You know, it really, really helps us out. So please make sure when you get a chance to go to iTunes, you can download our podcast for free and tell us what you think about the show, about this episode in particular. And if you have any questions, any comments, you know, we'd love to hear about it. And also, if you like to subscribe to any of our other great shows here, there is an app you can download on your iPad or iPhone, the podcast app, which organizes all of your podcasts for free. So it's really cool. So you can have them all in one place and they're easier to find. So do that when you get a chance because it really helps us out. Thanks. Yay!
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. So I get all teary when I think about this whole news thing. I just thought, you know, when Lonnie got to tell the police officers after he's like, you know, because we didn't even talk about that. Will's trying to get to the studio. They're stuck in traffic.
He bails
and runs.
And he goes, I see you thinking about it. Don't even think about it.
And I just knew he was going to do it. It was so funny.
I thought they were going to make it an issue with when he was being... spread them. What's
pat
called?
It down. Yeah, bunch of pubs.
I thought they were going to do like a racial profiling thing.
Yeah, right they almost did.
They almost did.
They like sort of touched on it, but I was like, oh no, are they going to do this whole like thing on
I
it
started
right
to
now?
Cover my eyes. I didn't want to see him get shot.
I know it would have been. Well, I like how he said, because the guy's like, you know, you're pretty big, sir, so please don't do anything to make us nervous. Right. And he says, like, I can't do anything about being big and black at the same time.
Right. Oh my god! I always laugh at when I see him. It's funny because of the Old Spice commercials. Yeah. I just picture him on. He was on the horse, right? Those were the commercials when he's like riding on the horse.
That was the other guy.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's the same guy.
Oh. No, he was the one. I think like he was the one
mixing
before
up in
that.
My head.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But do you guys think that Will would have jumped out of the car had he not been high?
No, I don't think he would have.
I wonder though.
I think he was.
He would have been frustrated.
I think he would have been scared. Because of the threats that have been happening, and he seemed to be nervous about it in the last episode, and in agreement with having the bodyguard.
I don't think he would have run. He probably would have
just
maybe
the whole
like
way.
Cursed and been frustrated. Yeah. But I think that he thought he had superpowers with all of you know, because all of a sudden, you know, because he's a medical marvel and all these things he kept saying, and
the
he's
falafel
like,
sandwich.
Yeah, exactly. Superhuman. Yeah, he was on the phone with somebody from NATO when he was getting his falafel.
Right. The munchies. Like he's still able to coherently work.
Yeah.
Snapped into it.
That's how awesome function. He is, I guess.
He is a superhuman, you know.
Well, he singly is going to change the internet, right?
Oh, right. And civilize everyone.
Mission to civilize.
That's so funny.
I just picture him yelling that when he runs to work. I'm on a mission to civilize. I'm going to report the news.
That's great. Well, let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, we can kind of like touch back on this a little bit, and then we will have a special segment to talk about our lovely guest and let us know what he's all up to these days.
Hey there, good buddies. My handle's Wooly Bear. I'm a truck driving man, but I'm not that old school kind of truck driving man. No, I like to listen to podcasts while I'm driving through these great United States of ours. And my favorite podcasts in the world are from AfterBuzz TV. And why? Because AfterBuzz TV is like a post-game wrap-up show for all your favorite TV shows, like Jersey Shore, Dancing with the Stars, Mad Men, and a whole truckload more. I like listening to my Gossip Girl podcast, catching up with all my fellow fans and getting all the latest news and gossip. You know, I got some strong opinions. And AfterBuzz TV lets me share those opinions with thousands of other listeners. Woo-wee, what a feeling. I used to doze off on those lonely stretches of road. And don't worry, I got the cruise control. But now I'm wide awake and listening to all the AfterBuzz TV goodness. Check them out. Give them a holler. And tell them the old Wooly Bear sent you.
This segment.
Should you just mention that?
Oh, the Wooly Bear.
What was that for?
Oh my gosh! So, what do we think at the end? At the end of the day, we saw some pretty intense previews for the upcoming episodes.
Oh my gosh!
We know that Jane Fonda comes back, which is amazing.
You're fired. That's the big one there.
Do you think they're really going to go through with it?
You know,
well, there is a season two, but that's then true. You could have a career change. Probably not.
Replace the main star, a la Game of Thrones.
I don't know.
I mean, this show is kind of unpredictable. I find like every episode has a different. There's no like formula really.
Yeah.
I feel like they kind of take you different places. You never know what's going to happen.
Well, because they're in a newsroom.
I don't think anyone knows. I don't think Aaron Sorkin quite knows.
No, I don't think so either.
You can replace anchors on the news pretty much anytime. So
yeah.
You never know how they could handle that.
That's true.
Maybe he'll have a podcast.
That's what Jane Fonda said.
It's tough though because the audience gets attached to anchors, and so it's like the network or the news show needs to make sure that it's done in a way where people can kind of say goodbye to them and they have their little grieving process,
like on the Today Show.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, and Keith Olbermann.
Yeah.
I mean, he the same situation, mm-hmm. so maybe it will happen.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know.
Some insight?
No, I don't. I don't know anything. Believe me, I don't know anything.
Breaking news.
What's the insight?
So tell us about your experience being on the show with everyone. Like, where did you film?
It was fantastic. We filmed in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. The newsroom is built on the soundstage. Mm-hmm. And they actually had my Egypt room literally right above the newsroom. So you see how there's like a, you kind of go up these stairs. And I went upstairs in the newsroom, and then the glass doors open up, and then surprise, there's
then
like nothing. Yeah, there was an Egypt room that was half half my room, Amon's room, the character, and the other half was used for Elliot's scenes, you know, when he's hiding in his hotel room. Mm-hmm. So it was half Egypt hotel and half my room.
Oh.
But yeah, we're in Hollywood, California.
So cool.
I don't want to break the illusion.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful set. It's like semi-functional newsroom. It was like 360. Everything was built. It was pretty amazing.
They film you live then at the same time that they're doing? So you're actually speaking with them?
Yeah, we would rehearse downstairs in person, and then I'd get the notes from Sorkin, and then he would leave to write the next episode. And then I would go upstairs by myself. And we had a live feed. It wasn't real Skype, but it was, they had a bunch of cameras there, and we were interacting in real time. So all the takes were happening at the same time. They had cameras everywhere. Yeah.
So you weren't just filming your segment.
No.
And they would roll it.
No. It was like me and this like gaffer who was just kind of hanging out in the corner, didn't really want to be there, I don't think. And every once in a while, the director would, like, scream something up, and then he would, like, run up and tell me something, and then run all the way downstairs. It was pretty amazing, actually.
And what were some of the things you did to kind of get into that mindset of the character?
Well, my family is Egyptian. I'm first-generation Egyptian-American. So I had a really strong connection to the revolution. I felt like Egypt had been oppressed for a long time, and it was finally, when it finally happened, it was almost like we could breathe for the first time. Mm-hmm. Like, Egypt really showed up. So I didn't have to do that much research, and it was written so well that just there's a musicality to the language that Sorkin mm-hmm. has, where you just kind of go with it and it like takes you there. But I did a lot of research in terms of, I listened to like corny Egyptian pop songs about the revolution. I had it on my iPod on the set. I watched YouTube videos that people posted who were part of the revolution on their iPhones, and some of them are really violent, and there's a part where my character talks about seeing people get killed in Tahrir Square. Mm-hmm. So I kind of wanted to go into that. And I also had to have an accent, so I mm-hmm. went and like studied this accent online.
Really?
I saw this one guy, Wael Gunam, who's a revolutionary, and he worked for Google, and he was one of the people who instigated the revolution. He was a major part of it, and he had a lot of interviews in English, so I kind of transcribed his accent. And I came in with a much heavier one, and they were like, we need to take it down just a little bit. So there was that's pretty much all I did. I kind of trusted that that work.
Now tell us about the story behind the name of your character.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know it started off with initial name.
Yeah, so his code name was always Amun, which is actually an ancient Egyptian god derived from Amun, meaning the hidden one, which they say. But originally in the script it said it was Arabic, so I had to be like, no, it's not Arabic, it's actually ancient Egyptian. So that was one correction. And the more major one was my character's name was originally Swahili. And as an Egyptian person, I was like, that's just not right. I couldn't sleep. I felt really wrong. And especially in an industry that portrays Egyptians and Arab Americans often in association with terrorism, and they mm-hmm. often have a bad rap. Right. And their stereotypes. And I was like, this is a positive character.
Right,
and
you're
I'm a journalist. And I need to have a name that's authentic and appropriate so that I'm representing the people in the revolution who risk their lives to get freedom. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, people who haven't had their voice really heard. So I was in my fitting a few days before we shot, and I like kind of mentioned it to the costume designer, and it was really sweet. And she was like, yeah, let's write him an email. So I sat down to write Aaron Sorkin an email. Be like, hey, it's that guy we met at the callback. I don't remember who.
With all due respect.
I know. She was very carefully worded because this is my first major job in Hollywood. So it's a really big deal for me, and it's a really special project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thanks. It's been amazing. Oh, wow. I was like, thanks, world. we wrote an email suggesting changes. Immediately, I got an email back being like, we want to change it. So I basically listed maybe a dozen last names and a dozen first names are common in Egypt, and I wrote down what they mean because sometimes that's important. Mm-hmm. And the next day, I got a FedEx script with like pink pages. Excuse me, with a whole new name. So it was really exciting. Wow. There's a lot of. He's a very smart. Aaron Sorkin is very smart. He has a big heart, and he's pretty humble, and he has a commitment to integrity. I think people get him completely wrong. People who haven't worked with him before. Mm-hmm. I go on Twitter and I see people being like, "Aaron, what a prick!" And I'm like, "You don't even know what you're talking about."
Yeah.
So. I was really moved and humbled to be there and to know that all these people working together to have a commitment to an authentic story, which is what the newsroom is about.
Yeah,
so,
right. Yeah.
So it was pretty great. And everyone was really warm and really welcoming. Jeff Daniels made sure to come up to me and talk to me about my work. And he was very busy, obviously, like learning lines and stuff. He has a lot to do. Cool. But he was very supportive, and Dev Patel was great. Everyone was lovely.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things Aaron Sorkin has said too in a lot of interviews, and he was just, you know, on the TCA panel and talked about it, but he always says that, you know, because people always accuse him of just writing about his ideals and what he thinks. And he said, you know, the thing that people have to understand is that he, you know, I write about things that I really don't know that much about.
Yeah.
So I, you know, get it. And that is a true.
It's true. He didn't know everything. He wrote a name that was not Egyptian, and I helped him change it. I mean, he was very open to that. He wasn't like, how dare, who does this guy think he is? He just left acting school and he can give me notes. Like, fire him and get some. You know, it's not, that's not who he is.
Yeah. It says that he does care about the authenticity.
Yeah.
Although he might not be the expert, he's open to it.
No, and how can you be an expert about everything?
Yeah. He admits that.
And I think that's what's great. I mean, that's a true example right there of how, you know, how open he is to all of that, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's good sometimes to, because all the characters have little flaws and say things wrong and, you know, all that, because it's okay. You know, you don't have to know everything.
He's kind of a shy guy, too. I mean, he's not like, he's not, you know, Superman. So I think a lot of those things come out of his own human resources, you know, his own experiences.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We were talking earlier, well, off camera, but about your character coming back. Do you think that's a possibility?
There were like murmurs on the set, but nobody knows. I don't know. I have no idea. Yeah. I would love it. That'd be great.
Yeah.
But I have this like fantasy of him coming back, like being hired into the newsroom and like acclimating and hanging out with Dev Patel and his own like dating things. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a really funny review of the episode. I think on like a blog called Vulture or something like that, where they were talking about the real romance was between Amon and Dev Patel's character, Neil.
I mean, Neil broke his hand for you.
I know. Yeah. I know.
There was a strong bond there.
I know.
It was really strong.
And then he come back in the end. Okay.
Yeah.
No, it was pretty funny. I don't really know. I mean, this job was such a gift, and it was so fun being there. If that was it was an amazing experience.
Yeah.
If there's more for me, great.
Yeah.
I'd love to see all those people again.
Well, the one thing that we talked about too about your episode was that we like the fact that your character didn't die.
Yeah.
Like, the, you know, that's the cliche way to go, is that that would happen. It would be. But we like that it didn't happen that way.
Yeah.
And that everything turned out.
There were two things
that
were not cliche. The one is that I didn't die. And the second one was, a lot of people told me afterwards, they were like, I thought you were going to hoodwink them. I thought you were going to end up being like a terrorist. And you were going to, you know, you're going to take the money and run. Or I don't know. And I was like, well, good for him for defying what our stereotypes are about people who are Arabic. You know?
But in that situation, like going and trusting someone that you have, that you absolutely know nothing about, I thought that was what was great about it. It was an actual relationship that Neil made because he saw the passion of what you were doing, and he
because
felt
of
the
his
same.
Past too. That's so, you kind of got a background onto his character in that episode.
So I thought that was great to see, and the outcome of that be that way and not the other that we normally say.
The whole Rudy moment.
Oh, the Rudy
Did you guys have an episode on this?
Huh?
Do you have a?
We do.
Oh, you did an episode
about
on
that
this
whole,
one.
Yeah. We talked about that whole thing. Yeah, we talked about the Rudy.
Right,
like
about Rudy. Yeah.
It was great. It was great. That episode.
I really
was
wanted Rudy to trend on Twitter.
I know.
Hashtag Rudy.
Yeah, I should have done that. So, what else are you currently working on? You have a blog?
I do have a blog where I talk about kind of the process of acting and kind of the mistakes I make and the successes that I have, and especially as an Arab American actor. Mm-hmm. You can see that at AmineElGamal.com.
Perfect.
I'm also, this show has been such a blessing, so I've had a lot of like career opportunities, many of which I don't, are not really certain yet, so I can't really talk about them, but it's been a very exciting time for me growing as an actor and getting more visibility and seeing what the next step is. And I am doing a feature film later this year called Indefinitely. It's an independent feature.
Nice.
That's great.
And you're doing something in the theater as well, you said?
Yes, I actually was offered a part for a new musical. I'm not sure if I'm going to do it. Yeah, it's a whole new thing. I do a lot of things.
That's great.
Sometimes with accents and sometimes with not.
So you're a superhero then?
Yeah. Me and Will.
Great. We've been running down New York City Betty's together.
Exactly.
Hopefully not completely baked.
No. Well, hopefully. That would be fun, though. Jeff Daniels.
Or hopefully, yeah.
Well, definitely keep us posted on everything that's going on.
I will.
If, you know, if there's any inside scoop you can tell us, if you're coming, you know, back on the show, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, I don't.
We want to see you back.
Yes, yeah, we do. Yeah.
Me too.
I think that's great.
Let's write to Obama about this.
Dear Mr. Sorkin.
Dear Mr. Sorkin, I felt really strongly that.
Yeah. So let's get into some predictions and think that what's gonna, what we think is going to happen next week.
And now, we're After Buzz TV.
So, our very special guest, but what do you think's going to happen in the next few episodes?
Well, it seems like Jane Fonda's character is riling up again, and you see Hope Davis's character who played Nina Howard. Mm-hmm. Was that at TMI? Which
TMI.
Is hilarious.
Yeah.
So, I think there's going to be another takedown of some sort, mm-hmm. I think. And I really think that Maggie and Jim are going to, something's going to happen. Something has to happen. And I hope that, this is like, I don't know if this is going to happen, but I hope that Mackenzie and Will, that there's a step forward in that direction.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I can't help but root for them.
But the guy in the preview, the guy comes back.
The guy
back.
From the Parks
ex.
And Rec.
Yeah,
the guy who she cheated on Will with.
Her ex.
Yeah.
He comes back.
He looks douchey, though.
Yeah. Why do girls do that?
I think, they're probably going to string this along as far as possible. You know, there's going to be more seasons. Yeah. And
I call it season 3. That's usually when, like, the couples
people
end
get
up
together.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we're going to see the rain before that.
So much pain. So many years. So many news stories later.
What about you, Sarah? What do you think?
I mean, it's just going to be a lot of awesome drama that's coming up. We saw from the preview, so I'm excited for it. I think we're ready.
Yeah, I wish we had like a camera on our faces when they were doing the preview.
I know.
We were like,
yeah.
I know.
We're just silent for a little bit. Like,
well,
what?
Maybe crying.
And one of the, you know, one of the quick clips that we saw was that apparently every time Don and Maggie break up, he dates other people.
Oh,
remember that?
Yeah.
So that's
crap.
Got my blood pressure up.
That's gonna make her go towards Jim, though. That's my prediction.
But it's like 5 minutes of breakup. He goes out with someone right away?
Apparently. Gosh. That's kind of what I got from that. So I'm curious.
I'm still waiting for one of them to come out as, like, gay.
Yeah.
It's going to be Maggie.
Probably, right?
Maggie and Lisa.
Maggie and Lisa.
We should make it. Oh, Maggie and Sloan. That would be
really hot.
We need to have a shirt. Make a t-shirt.
Yes. Yeah. That would be a good one.
Instead of Team Jim, Team Sloan.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. We still kind of think Sloan and Will may have a little something.
Huh.
Well,
that could be interesting.
I didn't even think about that.
Like a sister, younger sister thing is what he described the relationship to be today.
Psychotherapy.
But he could be confusing it with.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to go for Sloan.
I don't know. It could be.
It could be a one night stand thing, though.
But
maybe.
Lester may come back.
Lester.
Be like,
yeah.
Well, hopefully we'll see him go on a date. I don't know. Lots and lots and lots going on. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen. You know, Jane Fonda's going to come.
It's getting so good. good. Yeah, even better.
Such an amazing show.
Will was smoking on set too.
Was he smoking a joint or was he smoking a cigarette?
Yeah, like it went by so fast. The ex is
done with cookies.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know, but there's lots and lots going on. So make sure to stay and check us out next week. And thank you so much for hanging out with us. And thank you for hanging out with us.
Thank you.
So much fun.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, and make sure to catch. You know, you can catch us on Twitter at AfterBuzzTV, and you can follow me at Kelly with an IE 079.
You can follow me at the fan FAN2TOCSEE.
Hello, the pause at Kendra Cavazel, KendraKabasele.
You can follow me at Sarah with an H, Mendoza with a Z. And where can we find you? Tell us all your information.
You can follow me at Amin El Gamal, AmineElGamal.
And your blog.
And my blog, AminElGamal.com.
So thanks again, and we will see you guys next week.
Thanks.
Signing off.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.